rationale behind this number from our good pal Paul Hembakidis, ESPN Stats and Information, the great Hembo from ESPN's Morning Get Up Show. Hembo, how you doing today, buddy?
Mikey Miss, I'm good, but right now it sounds like you're trying to do algebra with an abacus. So what questions can I answer for you?
I probably am. There's 49%. All right. See, 49% means to me less than 50%, right?
Well, of course. So, what that number's telling us is that FPI believes they have about a coin flip chance of making the playoffs as of now.
Okay. So then tell me how it jives with the fact that it's the highest number in the NFC East. And somebody's got to win the NFC East. You would think the higher number would be, and if the higher number does win, that team's in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, right now FPI has the Eagles at about a 40% chance to win the division, and it gives everyone else a combined 60% chance to win the division. So what that tells us is that FPI is down on the division, as it should be, and that it believes pretty firmly at the moment that only one team's going to emerge from this division and make the playoffs. But keep in mind also, this is largely based on future strength of schedule. And at the moment, by opponent record, the Eagles' remaining strength of schedule is far and away harder than anyone else in the division. They have to go to, they got to play the Rams on the road, they got to play the Jags on the road, they got to play the Saints on the road. Those are all games, as of now, FPI views the Eagles as an underdog.
Okay, I got that part. I'm just trying to jive the 49% with getting into the playoffs, because it's still good enough to win a division if they're 49%. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, you're a numbers guy. This comes natural to you. I'm not, so it seems unnatural to me that 49% number would be less than 50, and yet still, it's better than anybody else in the division, which means they're going to make the playoffs.
Well,
did you see that? You see where I'm trapped?
I do, but you also got to keep in mind that these teams haven't played each other yet, hardly at all. So there's obviously a ton still has to happen. But at the moment, right now, I think you're not seeing this. I don't think you're seeing this incorrectly, but I think you're getting a little bit too involved in the minutia of it.
Okay.
A lot of that has to do with the fact, obviously, that 2-2 teams historically don't make the playoffs all that often either.
All right, so like if I eat 49% of a pie, there's still more pie left.
Sure, but if it was 51%, right? Like there's a 2% gap there. It's not a chasm at all, but in your mind, you view it as more likely than not instead of less likely than not. In reality, there's hardly any difference whatsoever.
Okay, all right. Let's roll with the rest of the stuff we're talking about today. You always give me five things that we need to look for in this game, so let's start.
All right, so Carson Wentz hasn't quite rounded back into form, and one glaring area in which he's lacking is blitz diagnosis. Last season, Wentz threw 13 touchdowns without an interception when the defense sent five or more pass rushers. But this season, Wentz has been sacked on 17% of dropbacks when blitzed, and his QBR is down 63%. And without Everson Griffin, Minnesota is blitzing at an above league average rate, so expect that to be a major factor again this week.
All right, so does that mean that his recognition is lacking and he needs to grow more into that, or does that mean their offensive line is letting down?
Well, it could be A, B, and C. Like right now, his mobility isn't there either. He has three sacks when outside the pocket this season. He had three all of last season combined. So I think his mobility is as big a factor as the two items that you cited.
All right, Minnesota will blitz.
No doubt, and they'll blitz even more now that their stud pass rusher isn't going to be involved.
All right, Dad. Talk to me about Adam Thielen having a monster year, and the Eagles secondary is reeling a little bit, Hembo.
Yeah, he's a stud. The single biggest matchup in this game, in my judgment, is Adam Thielen against Sidney Jones in the slot. So Jones has played twice as many snaps in the slot as any other Eagles defender. Adam Thielen has more receptions when lined up in the slot than any player in the NFL. For Jones, so far, so good for whatever it's worth. The Eagles have allowed only 35 yards per game and a reception percentage of 52% against slot receivers so far this season. And both of those figures rank in the top three of the league. But it's safe to say he hasn't faced anyone nearly as good as this.
All right, so Sidney Jones is playing okay, according to these numbers.
He is, and we heard a lot this week about whether or not they should flip him and Jalen Mills. But given the matchup this week, I think they should obviously stay pat.
Okay. The home team advantage here, the Eagles' disparity on how well they play at home and how well they play on the road is astounding to me. So try to explain this to me here.
This is seemingly a factor every week, and especially if you have any money involved in the game, listen up. So Sunday will mark the 11th time in Carson Wentz's career that the Eagles will be favored at home, and he's proven to be a very good bet in those circumstances. He's won eight consecutive games outright as a home favorite, and in those games, he's 6-2. Against the number. That obviously includes a loss against the spread against Indianapolis in their last home game. The Eagles' average win over that stretch is by 17 points. So if you are an optimistic bettor, that is certainly a figure that you have to wrap your head around.
All right. Now, both teams, it's a must win. More desperate, I think, for the Vikings, because if you look at, if the Vikings lose, their percentage is way lower than the Eagles make as far as making the playoffs. But talk to me about if the Eagles do lose, because the numbers don't favor that either.
No, I mean, right now, the Vikings, first of all, play in a much tougher division. And secondly, either way, a team that played in the NFC Championship game last year is going to be under 500 through five games, barring a tie, of course. But I gave it to you last week. I'll give it to you again. I wouldn't call this a must-win game for the Eagles, but history shows that it's close. In the Super Bowl era, 47% of teams to start 3-2 went on to make the playoffs. Again, about a coin flip. But only 19% of 2-3 teams went on to do so. And based on that math, obviously, the Eagles are about 2.5 times more likely to reach the playoffs with a win this week than they are with a loss.
See, that number terrifies me.
Awful.
All right? The 49% scared me enough. That terrifies me.
Well, last week it was less pronounced. This, I mean, again, there's no such thing as a must-win game in week 5. But when you're 2 games behind the division leader or whomever in week 15, these are the games that you have to cite. In a week 5 game at home against a team that you might be competing against in a wild card spot is obviously going to be crucial down the stretch.
All right. So you're an Eagles fan, Hembo. So what's your feeling this week?
I think the Eagles win and cover this week. The Vikings have 3 more rest days, which is one thing that I can't, like, is one variable that I can't quite calculate. But I look back at Zimmer's record, and it hasn't been an extraordinary advantage for him as it's been for other coaches. And you said it. The Eagles are too good a home bet, and the Vikings having to even having to come from L.A. to Minnesota over to here, the Eagles got to stay pretty close. I think when you line everything up, the Eagles win this game by a touchdown.
All right. That'll make people breathe a little easier here in Philadelphia.
I hope so.
Hembo, thanks, man.
You're a good man.
There he is. That's Paul Hembekides from ESPN Stats and Information, and we he joins us every Thursday.